Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 7th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940, 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the here are our top stories this evening.
A Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mdenda urges warring MDC factions to approach the courts, saying he has no jurisdiction to decide on internal fissures in the labor-backed movement.
What the speaker has said is basically that he has no jurisdiction to deal with these issues. He has referred it actually back to the parties to say it appears that this is an internal matter.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says the ZANU-PF government lacks capacity on its own to rescue the country's economy from the abyss as companies continue to close down, with the liquidity crisis worsening on the other hand.
The problem in Zimbabwe is not economic, it's political. I don't foresee any other solution. It's a political solution that is required first and foremost, leading up to confidence in the economy.
And South Africa's ruling African National Congress Party is leading the vote count in the first nationwide elections to include voters born after apartheid ended in 1994. The Speaker of Parliament today said he has no jurisdiction to decide on the internal fissures in the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
In a statement released this afternoon, Speaker of the House of Assembly, Jacob Mdenda, said neither he nor the President of the Senate has the powers to deal with the squabbles in the MDCT. He urged the warring factions of the opposition MDC to seek redress in the courts. This follows two letters written to him by expelled MDCT Secretary General Tendai Biti and suspended Deputy Party President Thokozani Kupe, in which Biti claimed that he was the only one with the power in his capacity as Secretary General of the party to recall legislators from Parliament. Kupe, in her letter to Mdenda, claimed that as leader of the opposition in Parliament, she was the one who had the powers to recall errant lawmakers. This follows a decision by Tsvangirai's faction to recall 9 legislators from the August House after they attended a meeting on the 26th of April in Harare, convened by Biti. Biti and his so-called renewal team resolved to suspend Tsvangirai and 6 other top party officials, including Kupe. Mdenda said it was not the duty of Parliament or Senate to interfere with internal matters of any political party. Spokesperson Jacob Mafume, for those calling for leadership renewal in the MDCT, welcomed the speaker's decision.
Well, basically what the speaker has said is basically that he has no jurisdiction to deal with these issues. He has referred it actually back to the parties to say it appears that this is an internal matter which should be dealt with in terms of the constitution. And this is what we've said all along, that this matter is internal to the MDC. The National Council that sat on the 26th of April in Mendel was a legitimate council. It came up with a decision to suspend 7 individuals. Now these 7 individuals have gone on a rampage, causing havoc among the structures, suspending people willy-nilly, expelling summarily without any reason, breaking the law and the constitution of the party. Now, if they have any issues with the decision that was made by that National Council, they should approach the courts or ultimately appeal at Congress. But what they are doing now is that they are suspending everyone, yet they claim that people leadership changes to be done at Congress. But only one person is safe until Congress. All other people are being expelled before Congress from the provinces and the national. Therefore, they are breaking the law willy-nilly. But what the speaker has said is a clear articulation of the law which we stated earlier.
Mafume said it was now up to Tsvangirai and his team to approach the courts because they are the ones who are suspended adding that they do not recognize the expulsion of BT and other legislators by Mr. Tsvangirai and his team.
It appears that they are sad about this decision. Then they should go and get competent lawyers. We have emphasized from the beginning that instead of committing further offenses as they are doing, of breaching the constitution and bringing the party into disrepute, they must take the decision of the council of the 26th of April, take it to court if they think it's illegitimate. If they don't think it's illegitimate, then they must deal with the results of that decision instead of creating havoc in the party structures and suspending everyone. And you will note the hypocrisy of it all. Only Morgan Tsvangirai seems to claim to want to be displaced by a Congress, whereas he's expelling everyone from province to the national before Congress. He expelled Mangoma before Congress, expelled provincial leaders before Congress. Yet he seems to think that he's the only one who should get to that Congress. So he's going further to break our constitution. And they should get competent lawyers desperately.
MDCT spokesperson Douglas Monzora, who is aligned to Mr. Tsvangirai, also welcomed the speaker's decision.
Well, the speaker's decision effectively dismisses the attempt by BT to stage a parliamentary coup at parliament. After his clumsy attempt at Mandela to stage a coup against the leadership, he wrote to the speaker of parliament to block the MDC leadership from calling its members of parliament. In that letter, he sought to make himself the only person capable of recalling our members of parliament. In that letter, when he wrote that letter, the MDC had not communicated any decision to recall anybody. We are glad that the speaker has refused to endorse BT's claim. The speaker has not said that in his ruling that the MDC has no right to recall its members of parliament. He has not endorsed the claim that BT is the only person with power to recall.
Monzora said his faction will proceed to recall the 9 affected legislators who are siding with BT.
For that reason, the door has been kept open for the MDC to recall its members of parliament. We have ceased to be its members. In the next few days, the MDC, therefore, is going to formally communicate with the Speaker of its decision to recall the concerned members of Parliament.
Those facing ejection from Parliament include BT himself, Solomon Madzore, Paul Madzore, Willas Madzimure, Bektemba Nyati, Reggie Moyo, Settlement Chikwinya, Moses Manyengavana, Evelyn Masaiti, and Senator Wachi Sibanda. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Meanwhile, in our final interview with former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, the MDCT leader says the country's economic meltdown is caused by an unresolved political crisis. Mr. Tsvangirai reiterates the need for national dialogue to rescue the country's economy from total collapse. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu spoke with the former trade unionist.
It's good to have good relations with the international community. The support is home-based, and so far I don't think that I lack the support of Zimbabweans. I think I enjoy the support of Zimbabweans. People know what they see in me and what leadership I have provided. They have confidence in our leadership, and that's all that matters. The international community, we don't hate anyone, we'll engage anyone.
Some of your very close allies have also said that they feel that the international community is interfering in your internal politics. Do you share the same views?
I don't have facts to that. I'm also reading those kind of reports in the newspaper. If they are doing that, I think it's wrong. Because at the end of the day, the struggle of the people is defined by the nationals of that country. If you want to support, if you want to give support unconditionally. And that's what I thought for a very long time, that the international community is supporting the democratic struggle in Zimbabwe, not personality.
The major problem that Zimbabweans are facing at the moment is the economic meltdown. How can this be resolved?
Well, as I said in my address to everyone, the problem in Zimbabwe is not economic, it's political. I don't foresee any other solution. It's a political solution that is required first and foremost, leading up to confidence in the economy.
Are you willing to enter into another coalition with ZANU-PF, say a second government of national unity, to try and resolve these problems?
I have said there has to be national dialogue. National dialogue will then define what is the roadmap for the future. But bearing in mind that we have had our own experiences in which ZANU-PF thinks that it is the state and that it will define how the state should be administered. And that's a wrong premise. So we have learned our lessons. We're there in the opposition. We're there in the government. We've learned our lessons. And I think the future is that to start first and foremost saying if there is going to be a national dialogue, it must be based on not dominance, not junior versus senior, but accepting that what needs to be transformed is the state in Sweden and our governance culture.
Lastly, Mr. Tsvangirai, your critics are saying because of your personal problems, this has actually affected your brand. What is your response to that?
What personal problems? I don't have any personal problems. What personal problems?
Like
they are trying to give a narrative that if I have a problem with my wife, it becomes a national crisis. How does my personal life situation affect the ordinary person in the street? How does my personal disposition affect people without food, without jobs, without a livelihood? And besides, if we start putting personalities, remember that those in the glass houses should not throw stones. If it is a question of character debate, then let's everyone. It cannot be selective.
That was former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
A prominent Mutare-based human rights lawyer, Trust Manda, was briefly detained by Southerton police in Harare today, facing allegations of obstructing the course of justice. Manda says he stands accused of inciting 6 Mbada diamond workers to refuse to testify as state witnesses against the Mutare men and alleged diamond dealer Mudasa Khan. The 6 Simbara Shegondo, Hardlife Kuudzewe, Temba Mvualo, Tokmo Chigeza, Innocent Cindy and Alexander Daru alleged that they were tortured while in police detention to confess that they had sold Khan diamonds worth $3 million. Through Manda, the 6 are now suing the police for the torture to the tune of $2,150,000. They also want the police to release 8 cars impounded by the police, and they are saying the authorities are accusing Kana of giving them the cars as payment for the diamonds. Manda's lawyer, Jeremiah Bamu of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his client has been charged.
He was called for investigations by the police. They are alleging that he obstructed or defeated the course of justice in relation to a matter where he represented some clients of his who asked him to represent them in the High Court of Zimbabwe, challenging the heavy-handedness with which they were treated by the police in a matter relating to a person called Muhassad Khan in Mutare, who is alleged to have bought diamonds from them illegally.
So was Mr. Manda charged?
Yes, he was charged under the pretense of obstructing or defeating the course of justice. What is specifically alleged against him is that he incited his clients to institute litigation against the police, in which his clients were disowning statements they gave to the police. And what his clients are saying is that they were tortured and placed under duress to give those statements.
So what is happening to the lawsuit against the police now?
What happened now is that we gave his warned and cautioned statement in which he raised concern that the police are trying to frustrate the right of his clients to access legal redress over their heavy-handedness.
That was Manda's lawyer, Jeremiah Bamu of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, speaking with Studio 7 reporter Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
The counting of ballots in South Africa is at an advanced stage, with the preliminary results showing the ruling African National Congress romping to a comfortable victory. The party is leading with 62.91% of the vote, followed by the Democratic Alliance with 22.12%, and Julius Malema's Economic Freedom Fighters at number 3 with 5.28%. The ANC has won the hotly contested Gauteng province, while the DA managed to cling to its traditional Western Cape province. The EFF has also performed well in some areas and looks set to garner a number of seats. For perspective on the preliminary outcome, we reached political analyst Mlamuli Nkomo, who says the result was widely expected.
Basically, there are three factors. It was always obvious that the ANC was going to win, but the issue is by what margin. We are seeing that the ANC, in the partial results released, is hovering around 63%, which is a slight drop from the previous election. We also see a notable increase in terms of the support for the DA, which is around 22-23 in the partial votes released, which is actually a marked increase from the previous election. And then we have got what they call the new kid in the block, the EFF. The EFF is contesting the national and provincial elections for the first time, and they've put up a good showing. They are hovering around 5% nationally, and in some provinces, like the Northwest and Limpopo, they look like they are going to be the official opposition coming second to the ANC. We have to remember that the EFF was formed as a result of the infighting within the ANC. I don't think it was expected that the EFF would dislodge the ANC outright, but I think it has made a very strong showing, especially if you look at the national picture. The EFF is almost coming third in almost all the provinces, apart from the apart from KwaZulu-Natal, where I think it is fourth position. But all in all, is coming behind the ANC and the DA, which for a new party is quite an achievement.
That was political analyst Mlamuli Nkomo speaking to Studio 7 from Johannesburg.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. Now, Chris, we go to have a brief look at regional and international news.
The South Sudanese rebel leader Riek Machar has arrived in Ethiopia for his first direct talks with South Sudan President Salva Kiir since fighting and ethnic violence erupted in December.
Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan today thanked China, the latest country to promise help in finding 276 missing school girls kidnapped by militant group Boko Haram.
Pro-Russian militants in eastern Ukraine say they will go ahead with referendums on establishing independent so-called People's Republics, despite Russian President Vladimir Putin's call Wednesday that the votes be delayed.
The situation in Zimbabwe, as reported earlier, is deteriorating, with ordinary people failing to make ends meet as companies continue to close, with the liquidity crisis worsening. Goods are staying longer on the shelves as people cannot afford to buy, as the country's economy slowly grinds to a halt. Industry is shutting down, foreign investors are not coming to Zimbabwe due to lack of confidence in the government's policies, with cheap Chinese imports contributing to the demise of the country's industry. For perspective, we turned to housewife Senikiwe Gwenelo and Consumer Council of Zimbabwe regional manager for Matabeleland Region, Comfort Muchekeza. Ms. Gwenelo says housewives bear the brunt of the collapsing economy more than anyone else.
The housewives are the ones that are most affected by closures of companies, by high rate of unemployment. It affects our monthly basket drastically, because when we go into the shop, we are not able to buy what the family needs for the whole month, because we do not have that income. We depend on money that comes from people that are employed, and these companies are closing daily. commercial rents. People can't afford, even business people can't afford to pay rents for their business companies to run throughout the month. Furthermore, domestic rent, people can't afford to pay water rent. They're accumulating. We are still going back to the situation which we were facing 3-4 years ago. And we don't even know that most of the kids are going to go to school. I have 3 kids, and I don't think I'll be able to pay fees for those children anymore. It's affecting us so much. You know, Sandra, these things end up even affecting our health. Because when I'm stressed, when the children are at home, they are complaining. Kids don't care whether it's money or don't have money. They want their luxuries daily. And that is really affecting us.
And coming to you, Mr. Mchekeza, as a person with the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, how are you looking at the situation in terms of the uncertainty that is currently prevailing in the country? There is no money, the liquidity crisis, people cannot afford to buy goods. You know, can you just give us your perspective from the CCZ's point of view?
The cost of prices, like from March to April, there was a decline in the cost of goods by almost 0.32%. The problem we have is liquidity. Where workers are working, they are not getting their salaries. There is short circulation of money. And in turn, it also affects consumers. But in terms of actual pricing of goods, we will generally realize a decline. But since people are not accessing any money even from the banks, they can't even afford to buy even the cheaper ones because there is no money in circulation.
In terms of the bread basket, how much money does a family of six need on a monthly basis to survive?
For April 2014, it's at $559.42. While it's in March, it was $561.24. That's why I was saying there is a slight decline of about 0.32%. And this decline is also checked possibly from March 2013. In 2018, it was 573.22. So when you count a year down the line, it has declined by almost $14. But in terms of the actual cost of living, the livelihood of people, this decline is not translated to day-to-day activity. Because even the 559 we are talking of, most of the workers, they can't afford it. Those who earn that, they only earn it in terms of pay slip. But companies are failing to pay what they even promised to employees.
Sinikiwe, if I was to come to you, or if the government was to come to you and say, you know, you are the, you know, the housewives, the women of Zimbabwe who carry this nation, what would you say could be your recommendation as to what needs to be done to make sure that Zimbabwe goes back on track?
Sandra, at the present moment, it's utter confusion because there's no recommendation I can give except that companies should be reopened, people should go back to work. That's all I can say. At the present moment, people need to be told how that should be done. That people need to go back to work. People are leaving school, they are unemployed, there are people already in the market that are retrained. There's so much care. But what we need right now is the economy to start generating, for money to start cycling, for farms to start farming and producing produce enough to feed the nation. That's all I can say at the present moment.
Mr. Mchekeza, your last word on this issue?
My last word is that the situation which we are in started almost years back, and the consumers have developed some coping strategies. But we want to urge the government, the corporate world, and all other stakeholders to come together and try to address this liquidity crisis. The other issues affecting workers and consumers, because we can't afford to continue going like this. Right now, we are only hoping that this past coming season was a better one. Possibly what we'll say, well, consumers will not buy certain issues like mealy-mealy, and other things that should also see them having a better disposable income.
That was Mr. Mchekeza of the CCZ in the Matabeleland region. You also heard the views of housewife Sinikiwe Gwenelo. She was in Harare.
Following revelations by the government that the Bulawayo City Council and industries in the city are discharging raw sewage and other hazardous effluent directly into the Umguza catchment area, the local authority has assured residents that they are not in danger of drinking contaminated water as the waste materials flow to the west and drinking water comes from the east of the city. Health experts had warned that the effluent is linked to various child diseases and cancers in adults. A cabinet committee chaired by local government minister Ignatius Chombo is investigating the issue and is being advised by a team of engineers and chemists. However, Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo tells reporter Tandekile Mhlanga the issue is not new, as the council wrote to the government in 2011 seeking borrowing powers to the tune of $13 million to resuscitate the sewer system.
What is new is that suddenly the government is also awakening up to our plight, and we are hoping that some good comes out of that. Probably they will help us to mobilize the resources that are required to rectify the problem.
We understand there's a cabinet committee which is involved in this issue now. What exactly have they done so far?
We had a meeting with them at Mhlahlandlela offices, and we explained the problem to them and our incapacity to attend to the problem because of lack of resources. It seemed to be quite understanding. I know that they were there yesterday morning. I think they were also checking on industrial pollution, those companies that are expected also to be contributing to the problem.
What is the local authority doing about those companies?
The bylaws are clear. They must be a pre-treatment plant at the factory where this waste that they produce is first treated by them, the company, before it is released into our sewer system.
That was Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo on the line from Bulawayo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk every day at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listener, topical issues affecting the country. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. The number again, 001-202-465-0318.
And tonight we are discussing about the state of the economy and related issues.
And briefly in sports news for all those who love the English Premier Soccer League, as I know many Zimbabweans do, Man City last night showed Liverpool how, you know, the art of closing out a game. We all know what happened with Liverpool at the weekend. Manchester City, with the assistance of Africa's very own Yaya Toure, routed Aston Villa 4-0 as the title race goes to the wire. And so now it seems that the club may have moved to within touching distance of the Premier League title, but it seems that the job is not yet done because Liverpool can still win it. So we wait for Sunday with bated breath. Square there, Chris, no one like you, going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
Now a quick look at today's top stories.
A Speaker of Parliament, Jacob Mdenda, said He actually urges warring MDCT factions to approach the courts, saying he has no jurisdiction to decide on their internal problems.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says the ZANU-PF government lacks capacity on its own to rescue